Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
One day, men will live under the kingdom of the Messiah, and Jesus will reign from the throne of David, and there will be no more thorns and thistles, and the wolves will lay down with the lambs, and we will see government as God intended it, ruled by Jesus Christ, as He reigns from the throne of David, and that will take over the whole world, and of that kingdom there will be no end.
We live in the last days, and that is a real hope that Jesus could come back at any moment. The Bible tells us to be ready and to watch that we might escape the wrath to come. If you've never had a good understanding of biblical prophecy, then Daniel chapter 2 may be a good place for you to start. Stay with us as we learn more about what the coming days and years have in store. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, now Daniel's rejoicing. This is spontaneous praise that comes because God revealed the dream and God revealed the interpretation of the dream to Daniel. So Daniel praises God, says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changes the times and the seasons. See, Daniel understood that everything changes, that God's the one that changes things. And He removes kings and He raises up kings. If we were to put that in modern day language, God removes presidents and He replaces presidents. That's the most political you're ever going to hear me get. See, I believe this. I believe that God is in control over who's ruling over where. And God sometimes raised up people who were ungodly to be in places for whatever reasons God had in His heart to do. And I'll tell you what, we will pray, as Romans 13 says, for our government. We will seek God to give them wisdom, because whoever's elected on whatever level is going to make differences when it comes to our lives, and we're going to gather together and pray for them. And like I said, that's as political as you will ever hear me get, because our salvation is in the Lord. Our salvation is in God. And He says that He removes kings and He sets kings up, and He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep secret things. See, Daniel knew that God reveals deep secrets. There's things in your life that you may only know. I always tell people, take care of them, get rid of them, pray about it, repent, make things right, get right with God, because God reveals deep secrets. You think no one's ever going to find out, but people find out. I'll give you a couple examples. I had a friend of mine. It was quite a few years ago, and he says, I need to kind of give you a little bit of a confession here. He said, my wife had left town a while ago, and I went down to an X-rated movie theater, and I bought a VCH tape. This was before the time of the internet. It was a long time ago. And he says, I brought it home, and I was getting ready to put it in the player and play it, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, you'll get away with this time. You'll get away with it next time, and you'll get away with it the time after that. You're going to go down this path, but you're going to get caught eventually. You will not be able to hide this forever, and it's going to devastate your wife, and it's going to devastate your kids. He says, I packed it up, and I put it away. And just kind of wanted to let you know that I had that struggle, that temptation in my life. And, you know, that's just so true. God sees everything. God knows everything. Not only is every place that you go on the internet still on your hard drive, it will never be erased. God will forgive and forget. Your hard drive doesn't. All right? It will always be there. But God will reveal it. I heard of a guy that was having an affair for 5 years. If you have an affair for 5 years, you're pretty good at covering things up. Wouldn't you think? Pretty with it for covering things up. You have an affair for 5 years. So he's with the gal and calls his wife, honey, I'm going to be late tonight. Not going to be able to make it home. Oh, okay. Well, dinner's ready. Whatever. So he hangs up his phone. He sets his phone down. His phone calls back home. She answers, hello, hello. What's that I hear in the background? And the affair was revealed for whatever reason. He pressed a button or the phone malfunctioned, and it called the number back again, and it was exposed. See, God can reveal that which is done in darkness, that which is done in the glow of some computer screen. God reveals it all. And I always tell people, look, deal with it now. Do not, you know, do what you've got to do. Walk in the Spirit, feed the Spirit, starve the flesh, read the Bible, pray, take your thoughts captive. Do all of the things that the Bible says. Put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth. Prepare your feet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and begin to battle. Begin to be who you're supposed to be as a man of God, as a woman of God, rather than compromising in these areas because I don't want to hear them. I've heard enough scandal in my lifetime to last me a lifetime. I don't want to hear anymore. I want you, I want me to be who we are supposed to be and know that God can reveal it. In fact, the Bible says that God will shout from the rooftops those things which are done in secret. So take this as a warning from God. Deal with it now. Repent. Allow God to forgive, to establish you, to restore you. Become the Christian, the believer that you're supposed to be. He goes on to say here, not only that God is the revealer of darkness, but he knows what is in the darkness, or he's the revealer of secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, the middle of verse 22, and light dwells in him. And I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. So he goes to Arioch. Arioch goes to Nebuchadnezzar. Arioch, remember, is the guy who was killing all the wise men. Arioch goes to Nebuchadnezzar. He says in the middle of verse 25, found it there? I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known the king's interpretation. He says, I know who this is. I know, I found a guy who could tell you what your interpretation is. Now, he didn't find him. This is typical. Man trying to take credit for something that he didn't do. Arioch didn't find him. Daniel went to him. Nevertheless, Nebuchadnezzar had said, if you can't tell me the dream, I'm going to kill you. But if you do tell me the dream, I'm going to give you rewards. Well, Arioch was going for the rewards. So the king said to Daniel, verse 26, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation? Daniel comes before him. He says, can you tell me? Daniel says, no, I can't. Look at verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. He agrees with all the soothsayers and the astrologists. Man can't do this. And Daniel says, Daniel could have very easily have taken credit for this, but Daniel doesn't. He says, no man can tell you these things, but, verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he is made known to King Nebuchadnezzar. He even takes himself out of the middle. He's made known to you. What will be in the latter days? Mark that, underline it, note it. This is a very important chapter in Bible prophecy. Note that he says he's made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what's taking place in the latter days. It's very important to interpretation of this. It says, your dream and your visions were upon your head. And as for you, O king, thoughts came to mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he reveals secrets and makes known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I had more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes, who made known the interpretation. Now, I just want to, for a moment, say about Daniel, that Daniel, he is humble and he doesn't take credit for this. And I want to remind you that God exalts the humble and God brings down the prideful. Daniel is able to get out of the way so that God can be exalted. And Jesus said, when you do your good works, do them in such a way that when men see your good works, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want to say of myself and the worship groups, we pray together regularly before the services. I met with the worship leaders this last week for lunch. I'm so blessed with our worship teams. And their heart is not that you would say, as I hear some people sometimes, I like that worship group. I don't like that worship group. I don't like that word, this worship. That's not what it's about. It may shock you, but it's not about you being entertained by a worship group. It's not one thought goes into entertaining you. The thought of these worship leaders is to bring you before the throne so that you can be worshiping the living God. That is the desire. And one thing that we pray about on a regular basis is, God, when people leave this place, let them not be talking about us, but let them be talking about you. See, that's what Daniel wanted. Daniel wanted, after he told Nebuchadnezzar the dream, for Nebuchadnezzar to deal with God now, to have develop a relationship with God. So we want you leaving here developing a relationship with God. And if you want to be exalted by God and used by God, then do things in such a way that God gets the glory so the people around you are not impressed with you, but they are impressed with the living God. That's what Daniel did by saying, look, I'm not the wisest man alive. He could have very easily have done that.
Yes, God reveals things to me.
Want to know anything else, King? Come to me. God, he didn't do that. I'm not the wisest man around. God didn't reveal this to me because I'm the wisest man, but God is the one who reveals the heart. Now, he tells him the interpretation of the dream. Here it is. He says, you were thinking about the future things and you saw a statue. The statue had a head of gold, breastplate of silver, had a stomach and, you know, thighs, upper thighs of bronze, had legs of iron, had feet of clay and iron. And a rock not made with human hands came and tapped this statue on the toe. The whole thing collapsed, turned into dust from the head to the feet. And a strong wind came and blew it all away, like chaff on top of a hill, blew it all away. And then that stone grew and grew until it dominated the whole world, and that kingdom will be forever and ever, and it will never cease. He says, this dream of yours, he then gives them the interpretation, is of future kingdoms. Now, make no mistake about it. This is what Daniel chapter 2 is about. It is giving us a structure for the future of the world. It's about the last days. He says, you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. And after you will come an inferior kingdom, the kingdoms of the Medes and the Persians. And after you will be another kingdom, after you will be another kingdom, which will be a strong kingdom and will crush everything. The other kingdom, the Bronze Kingdom, is the Greek Empire. After that was the Roman Empire. And Rome crushed everything and dominated for 500 years. There were two aspects to it, like there were two legs of iron. There was the Roman Republic, and there was the Roman Empire. The Roman Republic was run by the Senate, the Roman Senate. It was a democracy to some part. And there was the Roman Empire, which was run by the emperors. So there's these two different legs, and then the feet. And we know from Daniel chapter 9 that there's a gap between that last world power, Rome, which wasn't conquered but disintegrated. There hasn't been a world power since then until the very last days when there's another world power. Some confederation of 10 nations made of Rome, made of iron and clay. Maybe the European Economic Community that is brought in as an idea of maybe what will be this last confederation of 10 different nations or 10 different sections. We don't know exactly what they are, but what we do know is this. The Antichrist runs the last world power. He is a man that mesmerizes people. He is a man named maybe Damien, maybe not, like the movies, The Omen. Anyway. Okay, I don't know what his name's going to be. It was a bad joke that took a while for people to get, kind of still going around some people's heads. Nevertheless, it's run by the Antichrist. But during this time, and by the way, if you're wondering where our future is going, we know this. We know the entire world gets rich off of Babylon, Mystery Babylon. So the Antichrist is a financial savior. People talk about the world getting worse. We know that in the future, a bag of gold will buy a loaf of bread. Inflation gets so bad. Before it gets so bad, the whole world gets wealthy off of Babylon. So we're looking for the world that's going to get wealthy. We're probably going to be gone, by the way. The Bible says, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed, that we will be caught up with the Lord to meet him in the air and forever be with the Lord, and that those who are faithful will be kept from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole earth, and that you are to pray that you be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come upon this earth and stand before the Son of Man. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm going away, and if I go away, I'm going to return again. I'm going to get you that you will be with me. He doesn't say I'm going to come where you are. He says I'm going to come get you that you will be with me. The rest of the church can deny the rapture of the church. They can deny that Jesus promised that we were going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye, that we're going to meet him in the clouds, in the air. They can say that all means something else. It's all metaphors. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. And I will not be moved. I will not let anyone steal from me the hope that Jesus could come back today. The church today is allowing people to steal from them the hope that purifies the church. The Bible says of the rapture of the church, this hope purifies us even as we are pure. If I believe Jesus could come back today, I want my life right with him. The church is saying, who knows? But the Bible says in the last days, scoffers will arise, saying, where is the promise of his coming? To God, a day is like 1,000 days, and 1,000 years is like a day. And a year is like 1,000 years, by the way, not days, but nevertheless. Then it says, God is not slack concerning his promises, but God desires that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, the reasons God has waited as long as he's waited is because of you. He loves you. He wants you to come to him. If you're here today and you've never come to him, he's waiting because he wants you to get saved, because he desires all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. this last world kingdom will finally, it will be this economic savior, this military savior, because peace in the Middle East will be developed by the Antichrist. There will be this 10-toed final world power that will come together, which means, by the way, that the United States is probably going to have to get out of the way one way or another, because we're probably not going to go along with a last world power. Who knows? I'm just telling you, you know, where we got to go to get to where we're going. But you've got this last federation, and then the sky parts, and Jesus comes through in all of his glory. And he puts one foot upon Mount Zion, and he put one foot upon the Mount of Olives, and men gathered together for the last great battle of this world, Armageddon, battle out against him, and he destroys them in a moment, and he taps that on its toe, and it collapses, and then he establishes his kingdom here on earth as it is. Some of you guys say, why is there murder in the world? Why is there rape? Why is there molestation? Why are there all of these things? I'll tell you why that's here, and I'll tell you more. I'll tell you why there's thorns and there's thistles, and I'll tell you why animals attack each other, because we live in a fallen world that the Bible tells us longs for the redemption. And one day men will live under the kingdom of the Messiah, and Jesus will reign from the throne of David, and there will be no more thorns and thistles, and the wolves will lay down with the lambs, and we will see government as God intended it, ruled by Jesus Christ as he reigns from the throne of David. And that will take over the whole world, and of that kingdom there will be no end. That's where we're going. When people say, I can't believe that you're looking forward to a 7-year period of trials and tribulation. I'm not. All right? I'll be gone for one thing. Second thing, I'm looking forward to the day the kingdom of God is established. We just got to go through that valley before we get there. Jesus said it. He said, there's a time coming. It's worse than anything this world has ever seen. It's worse than anything this world will ever go through. We got to go through that valley before we get to the glorious days of him establishing the kingdom. Now, let me say this. J. Vernon McGee, I listened almost completely through the Bible with him at one point in my life, and J. Vernon McGee said of this particular chapter that it is the skeleton for all of Bible prophecy. If you want to understand Bible prophecy, you have got to understand this is the skeleton. God has laid it out. These world powers, the last world powers of the toes, the rock, which is the Messiah, taps him on the toes, it's destroyed, and then his kingdom is forever and ever. There's going to be other details added in. There's ligaments, there's muscles, there's skin, all put on this skeleton. But if you don't understand Daniel chapter 2, if you say, it's not about the last days, it's not about kingdoms to come, then you're not going to have an understanding about Bible prophecy. So for you new Christians that are here, for maybe those of you that have never thought it's important to understand prophecy, maybe you thought, I want to know about salvation, but I don't care about prophecy. A third of the Bible is prophecy. If God saw fit to put a third of the Bible in prophecy, you've got to understand prophecy. This is where the world's going. This is what's taking place. This is the basic skeleton. If you understand this, then you're going to have a good understanding about what the Bible says about Bible prophecy. You also have to understand that God has restored the nation of Israel. The church did not replace Israel. The Bible says Israel would be reborn again in a day. And on March 14th, 1948, Israel was reborn again in a day. And if you don't have a good understanding about God working through the nation of Israel, if you think that's the church, then when you find Jewish people in the tribulation period, you go, church is in the tribulation period because the church replaced Israel. No, it says 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel. The tribulation period is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, I have so much more I would like to share with you about this point, but I don't need to put all the muscles and all the ligaments and all the skin on it all now, do I? We just want to have a good, solid understanding that this, from Daniel's perspective, from Nebuchadnezzar's perspective, was all future. From us, here we are, we're in that gap between the Roman Empire, which dominated the world, and between this last world empire that will dominate, headed by the Antichrist. Before that happens, we, as the church, will go to be with him. That which is restraining the Holy Spirit in the church will be taken out of the way. The salt, the light will be taken out of the way, and then things will really get rolling. Let's stand up and pray. I'm out of time. Father, we want to thank you again so much for the revelation that we find here in Daniel chapter 2, and that you saw fit to reveal these things, first of all, to Nebuchadnezzar, in his unique position in world history to be the first king of kings, to dominate the world, the known world. Lord, we also thank you that you revealed these things to Daniel that we could have a good understanding. And we pray as we look throughout the book of Daniel and we learn about prophecy, that we would have just a solid understanding about what these things are. And help us to be humble as Daniel was. Help us to not take credit for things that are not ours. And may we point to you so that you can be uplifted and out of all that we do, that you would receive the glory for what we do by the power of your Spirit in our lives. I also pray for those who are here today that have never invited you into their life. I pray that they would do business with you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. I'd also like to ask that no one would leave early. If you know the Lord, just pray for those who are here who don't know him. Maybe you've begun to come to church. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. You've never said, I'm a Christian, I'm going to live for him. But you think because you started to go to church, you're now a Christian. But I want you to know that going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Even going to a church that's right, which I believe is the pastor of this church that it's right, doesn't make you a Christian. I would love to tell you that. You show great judgment in coming to Calvary Chapel, therefore you must be saved. But you got to do business with Jesus. It's not about doing business with Calvary Chapel. It's about doing business with Jesus. And Calvary Chapel never died for your sins. Calvary Chapel can't forgive your sins. It's only Jesus that can. It's only the blood that flowed from that cross that can forgive your sins. So if you have things in your life that you need to have forgiven, and I'll guarantee you do, you need to take care of them. And if you find yourself saying, I'm empty and I'm lonely and life is just not what I thought it would be, it's because you haven't found the one that created you. He has a purpose for your life. He has a reason for you being alive. You do business with him by repenting, asking him to forgive you. He's going to change you. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's going to transform you. He's going to make you into a new person. He's going to give you a fresh start. He's going to wipe away all of that sin, all the guilt, and all the shame. God's got a plan for you. I don't know what God wants to do with you. I don't know where he wants to take you. I don't know the race he's got for you, but God's got a race for you to run. If you're here today, you want to invite Christ into your life, you're ready to make that transition from living for yourself to living for God, then I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. Just lift your hand up. By lifting your hand up, you're saying, I want my sins forgiven and I want to invite Christ in my life. Lift your hand up now, please. And if you would just leave your hand up, God bless you. Ma'am, here in the front. That's awesome. And sir, back there, your hand just went up. And ma'am, next to him there, God bless you. All the way back in the corner. And your hand that just went up in the corner as well, God bless you. All the way back here by the kind of in between the two cry rooms, God bless you. Back over by the doors to the right in front of the sound booth, both of you there with your hands up, God bless you. And all the way over to the right of the room near the back, that's great. Ma'am, up here near the front, God bless you. That's awesome. Anybody else? Just lift your hand up now. All right, I'd like you to keep your hands up if you would. And sir, I just saw your hand go up there with the glasses on your head. Awesome. I'd like you to keep your hands up if you would, please. And I want to pray for you that have your hand raised. And over here, by the way, I see your hand as well, the child there. Father, I want to pray for those that have their hands raised right now. I pray that they would have a good, solid understanding of the commitment that they're making today. I pray, Lord, that they would count the cost and know that they are laying down their lives and they are now living for you. And this means a radical change in who they are, that you're going to change them. I pray that you would bring them to maturity, that you would work out these things in their lives and allow them to understand the tremendous forgiveness, and they can now go boldly to the throne. I pray, Lord, that they would become who you want them to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We hope you've been blessed by Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Tucson. It is our prayer that our Bible teachings would help you to understand and apply God's powerful word to your life every day. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, P. PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East or Southwest Tucson. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study and drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.